Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take the word and that you would fill our hearts, Lord, that you would take it exactly to the places in our hearts and minds that we need your word to go. Mm-hmm. And so we open up our hearts to you, Lord. We open up our minds to you. And we ask that you would search us, Lord. And that you would lead us in ways everlasting. For your name's sake, amen.
So good morning. As we were worshiping the song "Soften My Heart with Oil," that was a great picture. The Lord gave me a picture of it's the first day of spring, and I love to garden, and kept seeing our hearts and what our hearts look like. And it's kind of like when the snow starts melting and you begin to see the earth, and for me, I can't wait to dig it up and start planting things. But I felt like that song that we were singing is this, you know, grabbing a perspective of what our hearts need. And sometimes I think I've used the illusion that the Lord is pulling out the weeds and getting every bit of the weed out of our hearts. But this time the Lord showed me a picture of a forest. And in a forest, the debris and the branches fall down, and it creates this beautiful soil-like substance where it's so fertile, things grow. And I felt like that's what the Lord is doing. He's pulling out stuff out of us, but he's covering us and allowing our hearts to be able to receive all that he has for us. And so that's my prayer this morning for us, is that we receive all that the Lord has for us in our for our hearts, because this is a heart message this morning. I've titled the message, "Do You Know This Jesus?" This is Palm Sunday. Do you know this Jesus? We celebrate Palm Sunday, and I'll be sharing out of the text of John 12, 1-19. If you have your Bibles, you can pull it out. I'll be sharing from the Message as well as the NIV version. And I'm not going to have it on a PowerPoint this week. It just never happened. So you need to have your Bibles out. But to give you some context, I want to go back to John 11. Because we can't just read chapter 12, but we need to go back and see what did Jesus do prior to coming into Jerusalem. We see in John 11 that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And the response from those around him from that chapter. We read that Jesus was notified that Lazarus, the one whom he loved, was sick. And you would expect if you got that call, hey, someone is really, really sick, you would rush off and you would go right away to see your friend. Well, Jesus didn't do that. And he waited a couple of days. And then he journeyed to see Lazarus. So we find Jesus, he stayed put for a couple of days and then traveled back. And by the time he returned, Lazarus was already dead and buried 4 days. Martha and Mary were grieving, and Jesus responds to their grief in 3 ways. He responds first in instructing. He instructed Martha with truth. In John 11, 25-26, Jesus tells Martha that he is the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in him will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in him and believes in him will never die. That was the first response. They knew that their brother believed in Jesus, and so they knew that, yes, one day Lazarus would rise again at the last day. But they weren't necessarily thinking that Lazarus would rise that day. That was a little bit far from their scope of imagination. They both reacted in saying, "Jesus, if only you had been here, our brother would not have died." Everyone around thought that nothing could be done, even the sisters. It was hopeless. It was finished. or was it? Jesus responded secondly to Mary's grief. He saw her mourning, and he got angry, and he wept. It says in the word, he got angry. Anger rose in him. And when Jesus told them to roll the stone aside, Martha protested, "Lord, he has been dead 4 days. Phew, the stink and the smell would be terrible. Don't do it. Don't roll it away." That was her kind of her attitude. And Jesus responded in the third way in verse 40 to 44. He responded to show God's glory so people would believe that God had sent him. Jesus looked her in the eye. "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then to the others, go ahead, take away the stone. And so they removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, "Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me." And then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And he came out, a cadaver, wrapped from head to toe and with a kerchief on his face. And Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him loose." Jesus was unafraid of death. Death had lost its sting in this moment. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. Even when others had no hope or no faith that that would even be possible, he spoke life into the dead place of Lazarus's body and out walked a miracle. Many believed and were astounded, so much so that the leading priests and the Pharisees called the council together, the leading council, and because they had to figure out what to do with this. What do we do with Jesus? They were afraid that if everyone believed in Jesus, the Roman army would come and destroy both their temple and their nation. And then we hear that Caiaphas, who was the high priest, at this moment he spoke a word of prophecy to these high priests, that Jesus would die for the entire nation. And the Jewish leaders began to plot Jesus' death. And as a result of that, it says that Jesus stopped his public ministry among the people and left Jerusalem and went to Ephraim with his disciples. Now we fast forward a little bit, say maybe about 6 months or so. Passover is approaching. And as custom and tradition would have it in the region, the Jewish people would travel from all over the country to several days prior to Passover to celebrate and participate in the purification ceremony. And as they did, you would imagine the buzz in the temple. People weren't expecting to hear or think that Jesus would come. They were thinking, would Jesus risk coming to Jerusalem? They were hearing things. Certainly he wouldn't come to Passover. Everyone knew that Jesus was a condemned man at this point. There was a public notice saying that if anyone saw Jesus, they were to report him immediately to the high council so that Jesus could be arrested. And yet Jesus was unafraid. He was unafraid. And he went to the very place he needed to go. He went to Jerusalem. But first, he did a brief stopover in Bethany, a town which is just under 2 miles from Jerusalem, a town which we now find Jesus. And this is now John 12, 1 to 19. Jesus anointed at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, with whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wage. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she would save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. So I sat pondering about this gathering of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, and the disciples. Lazarus reclined at the table with Jesus and the disciples, and the feelings that they must be feeling, especially Lazarus. I don't know if you were raised from the dead and how you would feel, but you'd probably feel joy, gratitude in your heart. Mary and Martha had their brother, gratitude and joy of experiencing this amazing miracle. Their brother was risen from the dead. This life that was reborn and called forth. What a celebration they must have had. I don't know about you, but I enjoy throwing a great dinner party. I love inviting guests over and to create a spread for friends. You know, the kind where you bring out your best dishes or your best silverware and you lay the table. I'm pretty meticulous. I like to have everything just so. Cut flowers on the table, creating an atmosphere or a presence for them to come into. And I do this because I love my guests. I love those who are coming over. And I want them to feel honored and special. It's not a chore for me. It's not I'm going to throw a dinner party and get out my best dishes and look at all the work I got to do. No, I love it. My heart is filled with gratitude because of the people coming. I want them to feel appreciated for who they are. And I would spare no expense for them. So I can only imagine the overwhelming gratitude that Mary and Martha and Lazarus